Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good to have you today. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Yeah, we had a great week in Baltimore. Yes, we did. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, young'un, how you doing, huh? Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Hey, 7 years old. Praise the Lord. That's great. 7 years old, going on 21. Is that right, Franz? Amen. 7 going on 21. We can remember those days. Oh, goodness. We got several announcements today that we need to make. Start off with, my wife got one she's got to tell you about.
I'm officially announcing it. I have 10 weeks to get my Christmas thing together. 10 weeks.
Christmas time again already.
Christmas, that's right. We didn't get the tree up because we were in Baltimore, but it'll be here when you get here next week. I can guarantee it. Anyway, kids, y'all need to go ahead and pass those out. Okay. Most of y'all know about it, but this is our 15th anniversary of our annual Christmas benefit for Christ Haven for Children. And we're having it Monday, December the 12th. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. You're welcome to come to participate with all the kids. And as we pass out all the presents, what we do, they give us wish lists, and we buy them everything they want, pretty much. And unless it's kind of weird or something. But other than that, we pretty much buy everything they want. The first year, this started because my pastor said you should do things for children. This was before I was married to Thurman. My daughter Christy and I sang for a living, and so he said that. And on the way home, I called her. I said, "Hey, Chris," I said, because we were talking about doing something at a soup kitchen or something homeless, whatever, because we just had too much stuff and we needed to do something for somebody else at Christmas. And so I said, "What do you think about us doing something for a bunch of kids?" She said, "Well, that's a pretty good idea. That's on Sunday. Yeah, we'll do something for some kids." So on Monday, we were living in Colleyville, and I get a Christmas card from Christ Haven for Children. I guess God knew my address. And so they send me this Christmas card, and I call her up. I say, "Hey, why don't we do this?" And she said, "Good idea." So I show it to her on Tuesday. So we agree. I call them. They tell me, yes, I can do a Christmas party for them and, you know, give gifts to their children. So then, and Christ Haven for Children, they're abandoned, abused, neglected children. They all have terrible stories. Most of them, you don't even want to hear about them because they're so horrible. And most of the parents are usually in prison for something. And so they don't have anybody they can go stay with. There's a child advocacy that takes over for them. And so it's bad, very sad stories, but they do wonderful things for them. And they also now have teen moms and little kids. They've got one girl. She got pregnant at 13, had a child at 14 and 15, and now she is finally graduating and is going to be a nurse. So praise the Lord. You know, that's a good story. Okay. So last year, when we started, so Christy and I started this thing. The very next day, we were singing at Will Hart's in Grapevine, and the regional director for Walmart came in there, and we knew him because we'd done some of his grand openings. And I said, "Hey, Chad, can you help us out with this?" He said, "Sure." He said, "I'll give you $1,000. And so that's how it started. The first year, we raised $16,000, and we spent it all on Christ Haven. Well, last year, we raised $112,700. Praise the Lord. Amen. We gave Christmas to 4,606 children, teen moms, homeless, elderly, and 308 needy families. And not only did we provide Christmas for Christ Haven, but we also did it for Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange, and they service Grapevine, Colleyville, and Southlake. And they help, they have everything, food pantry, clothes, they help you get jobs, it's like somebody's house burns down, they provide them housing, they just do whatever they need to do for the people. We also give to Denton Salvation Army, because the Lord spoke to me, he told me to give to Salvation Army. I said, "Which one?" I went through Dallas-Fort Worth or, you know, Arlington, and he told me Denton. So Denton is where we started years ago. We also gave to Denton Nursing Homes and Justin Nursing Homes, Wings of Hope, which is it's a group of airline pilots that got together and formed this years ago. And through them, then we give to Lena Pope Home. And I forget who else they give to. I think some of the same ones we give to Grace. And then also Justin Community Clothes Closet, we give to them. And then we included several unemployed, needed families who were brought to us that needed attention. So our biggest request, other than money and or things, they sent me the wish list this week while I was in Baltimore. I told them I have to have it by October 1st, and I do. I have 10 weeks. You know, it takes a while to get it together. So they sent it to me. I need 75 Six Flags tickets, and I don't even know what Six Flags tickets cost nowadays. I haven't looked it up. And then the people that help us out a lot. Kohl's gives me a 30% discount. Putt-Putts, they give me free tickets. And then Dallas Children's Charity, that actually started with Love for Kids the first time. And he used to come out and hear Christy and I sing. And they, she was friends. She and her husband were friends with Todd Van Galen. And the first year he gave us 40 toys. The next year he gave us 75. The next year it was 120. Anyway, now they're kind of gone into the Dallas Children's Charity, which is the Margarita Ball, the Margarita Society. So they have this big thing before Christmas that everybody brings a toy, and they have 10,000 toys. I mean, it's incredible. Well, we ended up last year with 499 toys. And I split them up between, by that time I was done with Christ Haven, I split it up between Grace and Salvation Army. And in fact, in some of the toys we had left over at Justin Community Closet, they ended up with, because they'd never had toys before until we started bringing toys to them 3 years ago. They never had new toys. They always had broken toys, she said. So I said, well, you're going to have new toys this year. And so we have started a thing for them that now they are able to give. They service 3,000 people every month, and they are able to give new toys. Just one toy that they give to all the people that come through. But everybody receives a new toy. And last year, they had some left over, and they took them to the police department, which is great that they did that. They passed them on, you know. Kids Matter International, he gave me $700 in Kohl's cash last year. He gave me $1,000 in Kohl's cash before that. I think he gives me different things every year, which is really a blessing too. So the main thing we need, if you want to look at the wish list and pick out a child or a particular gift, that's great. You know, I allow them to have one big gift of, the maximum is $200, and then they have like 11 gifts underneath that. And so if there's, and it's from one extreme to the other. You know, one little girl wants dance lessons. You know, it's just different things. So if you want to look at those and pick out something, that'd be great. But otherwise, we need money. So if you decide to give anything, just notate on your check or your giving our envelope that it's for the children or for Christmas so that I know where it goes. Okay? Anyway, thank you for all your help again. Y'all are wonderful. $112,700. I couldn't have done it without you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank y'all. God bless.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's coming time to vote. It's not long till voting time. You only have till the 11th to register. If you've not registered to vote, make sure you get in there as a Christian. If you are a Christian, you need to be registered to vote, and then you need to vote the Word of God. Amen. You know, I mean, anybody that says they don't believe in God, you do not vote for them as a Christian. Does that make sense? Well, we have some in Washington right now that's running for government. That first thing that I heard her say when she started the campaign was, I don't want anything to do with God in my platform. So let me tell you, there's only one woman running. So it's not hard to determine who I'm saying. But I would never vote for anybody, male or female, yellow, black, white, brown, I don't care who you are. If you don't believe in Jesus, I ain't going to vote for you. I'm going to vote for somebody. I'm going to ride in somebody or something. Amen. But I'm not going to vote for you unless you are a Christian. Amen. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay. So if you're not registered to vote, you need to get registered. And I have just a few of these forms that up here that you can fill out. If you don't have one, you can come by and get you one. And if you need another one, Ms. Judy Strickland, she has some more. And she'd be happy to bring you some if you want one. But whatever you do, make sure you're registered to vote. We may not have many of these left until it's all over. I mean, we're coming upon Rosh Hashanah this weekend, Feast of Trumpets. You know, that's a great, 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 awesome thing tonight. Yeah, Feast of Trumpets. That's one of God's feasts. It's going to happen. And of course, I have believed for a long time that Jesus Christ will return to the earth for his church and the rapture during Rosh Hashanah. Now, whether it's this Rosh Hashanah or next Rosh Hashanah, I don't know, and it doesn't really make any difference to me. I have made myself ready by the blood of Jesus, so when he comes, I'm going to get to go. Are you going?
Yes.
Okay, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, when he comes again, he will take you with him. It won't be because of nothing you done. It's all because of what he done. But we just believed what he done. He did it for us. And so isn't that wonderful? To think that he gives us that free. So whatever you do, make sure you get signed up to vote between now and the 11th. And then make sure when the voting time comes, if we do have a voting time, I mean, you know, with everything that's going on in the world today, I don't know what may happen. There's things behind the scenes that's happening that's kind of mind-boggling. I'm not even going to talk about those because it takes too much time, but the world is really in a mess. And we need some good Christian people up there to vote, do we not? And I turned the news on this morning, and I wouldn't want to be in Haiti or Jamaica today. I don't know if you've seen what's going on down there. There is a hurricane that is 150 mile an hour sustained winds with gusts to 185 knots. Now then, do you know what 185 knot wind does to a building? Do you know what it does to people? I mean, it kills them. I mean, you know, it's going to be amazing. I don't know what God's doing, but I know he's judging the world. I don't know with what intensity, but I don't want to be nowhere close to those places. You know, I mean, wow. Just think, to be in Haiti with 150 mile an hour sustained wind. I mean, it's blowing. That'll blow an 18-wheeler over. You wouldn't want to be in that, would you? And then when it gusts up to 185, that's some powerful winds, ladies and gentlemen. So what I have already prayed, but I know there's power when we all agree in prayer. So amen. I'm going to pray for those people. Father, in the name of Jesus, for the people down there in that part of the world where these hurricanes are, which I know they're in Haiti and Jamaica, and they're coming to Cuba. So, Father, I ask you to be merciful to those people. I know you must get, well, no, I guess you don't. You don't get tired of us asking for mercy because you sent your son to pay the price for all of us. And, Lord, I thank you for being such a mighty God, so merciful. And when we ask, you promise to answer. So we're standing on your word, just like that scripture in John 16, 23 and 24 that Jeff just went over. That's an awesome promise that you give us, and we have that in us, and you give it to us to use for your glory. So according to those scriptures in John 16, 23 and 24, I ask you to lower the wind, lower that damaging wind from 185 even down to 150, down to 100 and even 80 and 90. Slow it down, Lord, where the people and their property will not be, well, they won't be killed and their children won't be killed and their property won't be destroyed. And I praise you and thank you for giving us the privilege to know these promises and to stand on them. And I know that you will do something wonderful for that part of the country down there, and you will save them because we prayed as your children. Now, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. I think about that scripture. I was thinking, meditating on that scripture. And then Jeff spoke about it. John 16, 23 and 24. I want you to look at this scripture one more time. Really, we're going to go over some great and precious promises because we're going to talk about 2 Peter. But I just want us to look at this scripture. John 16, 23 and 24. John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day, that's today he's talking about, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or just like Jeff said, truly, truly, I'm speaking to you, I'm telling you a truth that cannot be a lie. Truly, truly, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And then verse 24. Hitherto, or before now, have you asked nothing in my name. But now ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Either we don't know these things, or we don't believe them. 15 years ago, I walked into a hospital in Fort Worth, Cook's Medical Center, and there was a little girl that had been in a car wreck with my granddaughter. And when I walked over to the room, and asked the parents, I said, how is she doing? And I looked at her, and her head was scalped all, from all across here. It was ripped back to right there. I looked at this little girl, and the doctor walked in about that time, and I said, sir, what is the diagnosis for this little girl? He said, well, sir, she may live. Maybe, but she may not. But if she does, she'll have brain damage. And said her pelvics are both crushed. He said the seat belts held on her, but it crushed her pelvics because of the tremendous impact she was in. And said if she lives, she'll have brain damage, and it'll be 2.5 to 3 months minimum before she can walk again with a walker. And then she'll have to learn how to walk all over again. Now, as the body of Christ, with that promise, we don't have to receive that. Is that true? Does that line up with what the doctor said? It does not, does it? So why in the world is it that we don't believe? Why? Back in those days, I don't know what to say to you. I started to say, I guess that I was just, I don't know whether I was naive enough to believe that God would do what he said or stupid enough. I don't know which, what it was. But I made a statement that just blew them away. I said, you know, I have John 16, 23, and 24. That's what I told them. I said, I have John 16, 23, and 24 in me. I am a son of God. I believe in Jesus. And I believe he'll do exactly what he said. So I'm going to pray. And you said she's going to have brain damage. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to not have any brain damage, but have when her head is repaired, I want it to be perfectly supernaturally normal with no brain damage. I want her to be smarter when she gets through this than she is now. Amen. Now, what did you say I could ask for? Anything. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? I mean, after all, Tony, this just happens to be the king of the universe talking here, right? Only the king of kings. Well, I know he don't count much, does he? There's not a greater authority nowhere, is there, Tony? No, not a greater authority anywhere on the earth, off the earth, in the cosmos. There ain't nothing more powerful than Jesus Christ. And I think we all really believe that. It's just we hardly ever call on him for anything. So anyway, I told him, I said, you know, I have John 16, 23, and 24. Jesus told me that I could ask for anything, and he would do it. So I said, I believe him. I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, I see her little head's all ripped open there, but I'm asking you to fix that with no brain damage. What did he say I could ask for?
Anything.
So I said, Lord, thank you that there's no brain damage. You're going to fix that. You said I could ask anything, did he not? So, Lord, I thank you for fixing her little brain, her little head. It's going to be perfect. There's going to be no damage, and it's going to heal up everything, and there's going to be absolutely no brain damage whatsoever. And then, Father, I said, those little pelvics that they tell me is crushed, that it's going to be 2.5 to 3 months at least minimum before she can even start walking with a walker. I said, I don't receive that. I don't believe that at all. I want her to be supernaturally, her little pelvics, I want them to be so supernaturally healed that everybody that's here will see that only you could have done this miracle. I don't want her to be healed in 3 months because the doctor said she'll probably be able to start walking with a walker in 3 months. I don't want her to walk in 3 months. I don't want nothing here to give glory to the doctors. I want you to get all the glory. So I'm asking you to heal her in such a rapid rate that she'll be out of this hospital running and playing like nothing ever happened so quickly that every doctor that checks her, they'll have only one diagnosis that God showed up in this room today.
Amen.
Now, is that for all of us?
Yes.
Why don't we use it? Why do we go through life not using the power of God's mighty word? Lack of faith. That's it. We don't have no faith in our God. I mean, yeah, he's God, but you know, I don't know. He might do that, but I'm not sure. Well, let me tell you, he will if you come in faith. And what she just said, you have to have that faith. You got to believe it. You got to have it hidden in your heart, in your head, everywhere. So after asking the Father in Jesus' name, according to John 16, 23 and 24, to do all these wonderful things for this little girl, I said, Lord, thank you. Now it's done in Jesus' name. And then I turned to the doctors and the parents and everybody else and said, I guarantee you she'll be out of here nothing flat. You know, whenever people look at you and they say, you know what they think, don't you? We don't care what they think, do we? We know who our God is. And we have faith. And we can ask him, like he said, come and ask me, my children. Before today, you've asked me for nothing, but now you can come and ask me. What did he say you could ask for, Scott?
Anything.
Do you reckon he really meant that?
Yes, I do.
You know he did. So anyway, I walked out of the room praising the Lord, walked back over to my granddaughter's room because she was technically dead. I mean, her brain stem was severed, her eyes were jerked out of her brain, and they said, when we remove the life support, she can't live. It's impossible. It's over for her. So I used different scripture. I used John 15, 7 for her, and I used John 16, 23 and 24 for this little girl. Walked back over there, and I spent the rest of the day walking up in front of her bed where she was laying there technically dead, waiting for them to remove the life support so she could decease. My friends come in and said, Thurman, just go ahead and unplug her. Let them bury her with her mother. We're Christian people I'm talking to. Go ahead. I got a promise like this. And they're telling me to unplug her and let her die and bury her with her mother? Now, if I had enough faith, I could have called her mother back from the dead too. But I have a limitation on my faith too. And whenever my daughter and my wife was tore into pieces, I didn't have enough faith to call them back from the dead. So shame on me. I had the promises, didn't I? Are the promises there, Mary? Yeah, they're there, aren't they? Yeah, I can call on those promises if I have faith. If I have faith and doubt not. But you know, we all have a faith limit. And we don't spend enough time with God in the Word to have an unlimited faith. So as I walked up and down in front of Caitlin's bed, and people's telling me, that one social worker, when she come up and she says, sir, I have never seen a man like you in my life. They told you that your wife and daughter were deceased, and your granddaughter's going to die, and this other little girl may die. And all you can do is walk up in front of the beds and praise the Lord and quote scripture. Can you think of anything better to do? Under a circumstance like that, who do you need? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. There's no other help that can do what he can do. And he filled this book full of wonderful promises. Our problem is we just don't believe it. But anyway, as I praised him and worshiped him and thanking, a few days goes by, and the little girl with the head problem and the hip problem begins to get unnaturally well. By the weekend, that little girl was out of ICU in a room all by herself, recovering, and she was walking with a walker in 1 week. And where they said it's going to be 3 months, she's walking with a walker. And then the next weekend, she was in church. And even my Baptist preacher said, we have seen God do a miracle. And so the little girl was walking with a walker. In 2 weeks, out of the hospital, at church, walking with a walker as a little, how old was she back in those days? Six or seven. And so I'm praising the Lord, thanking the Lord and everything that she's going to get supernaturally well, that she's going to increase. And then at the end of the third week, she was back in school running and playing like nothing had ever happened to her. Two and a half weeks. It wasn't even quite 3 weeks. 2.5 weeks later, she's back in school, running and playing like nothing ever happened. Now then, that's scripture. It's only put in the Bible for Thurman Scrivener.
No.
You don't believe that?
No.
Franz, do you believe that? No. That scripture only put in there for me?
It's put in there for me. Sir.
Amen. And you believe it, don't you, brother? What's wrong with us, Mike? What's the problem?
Unbelief.
We act like it's unbelief, don't we? I mean, Mike and Gracie they're learning how to get a hold of it. When somebody comes in, they know how to pray. They can change anything and everything around the world. They live by prayer. And they can change your world by prayer. I'm telling you, they believe, most of you people in this room believe these promises. But once in a while we get some newcomers that come in here and they come in and sit down and hear me start talking like this. And if they've never been to this church before, they begin to think, what is wrong with this crazy guy? He acts like the Bible's real. Is it real, Gracie?
It's real.
It's real, all right. After you've seen the answer to prayer, you and Mike saying it's real, all right, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? It's available to all of us. So anyway, after that little girl was out of the hospital, running and playing like nothing ever happened, about 3 months later, in church one Sunday morning, no, I take that back, it wasn't in church, it was at a birthday party. I was at a birthday party for a little girl, and this little girl that had got healed supernaturally come up to me, and I said, oh, honey, I said, how are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm doing great. She said, the only thing I don't like is these scars on my forehead. So she raised her hair up like this, and she had two huge scars across her where her head had been ripped open. She said, I don't like these scars. I said, well, honey, Jesus don't like those scars either. But he can't take them off until a man or woman of faith prays in faith. I said, that's the only thing God has limited himself to on this earth is our prayers. If we don't pray, and if we don't pray in faith. Now, if you pray begging or pleading, that don't work either. If you're begging, oh, God, please, my wife's got this problem, Lord, please, will you help her fix her? And he says, no, I don't answer prayers of begging. I answer prayers of faith. You come to me on some prayer of faith, and if you've got John 16, 23, and 24, can you come to him on faith? I'm telling you, you come to that scripture. But anyway, when I looked at that and I told her, I said, you know, that's terrible. But I said, Jesus needs some help there to take that off. He needs somebody to pray. And I said, that's why he told us to pray. So I said, you know, there's an awesome scripture in John 14, 13, and 14. Now, that's another one of these great and precious promises. I want you to look. See this scripture in John 14, 13, and 14. Look at this. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What did he say you could ask for in John 14, 13? What did he say? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, the name of Jesus, he'll do it. So this little girl was sitting in that birthday party with her hair raised up. And I asked her, I said, you know, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to take those scars off of your head. And I said, but you have to believe. You know that with no doubt in your heart. She said, oh, yes, sir, I know that. And said, if you pray for me, I know it's going to happen. Now, here's a six-year-old girl. So I prayed. Well, the next morning, she gets up and runs to the bathroom, jumps up on her little stool, looks in the mirror and pushes her hair back and she said, look, Mom, just what I thought. She said, what's that? She said, they're not as bad today as they were yesterday. She said, doesn't Mr. Thurman do good work? And her mother said, honey, it's not Mr. Thurman, it's Jesus. She said, oh, I know that, but Mr. Thurman knows how to get Jesus to do good things.
Amen.
I thought to myself, a six-year-old child You know, every child, that's the way they should look at you. Yes. You and me. When they look at us, they need something, and they're little like that. When the child, our children, our grandchildren, when they come to us and ask for us to pray for them, they ought to be like my grandson was the other day. When he got here a while back, actually it was last Christmas, when he come in and Cheryl had ordered something, and he said, they was talking about when's they going to come in. He said, oh, it's going to be here tomorrow. Cheryl said, how are you so sure, Preston? He said, because I prayed. It's going to be here tomorrow. I prayed. That's like Kim and Scott. Talk about this scar on his forehead. They prayed for a little girl that got bit in the face with a dog, a pit bull, just recently, just a few weeks ago. And that little girl had these terrible scars on her face, and they prayed. Maybe it's just Kim. Kim was there, and she prayed, and that, her and Vanessa. Okay, Janessa. And they were there, and they used, what scripture do y'all use? Matthew 18, 19. Now, here again, this book is full of these precious promises. I put Matthew 18, 19 up here and let everybody see what verse Kim and Janessa use on Matthew 18, 19. And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, is that an awesome verse? It's awesome. Well, they used it in faith. They asked the Father in Jesus' name to take away the child's scars on her face. And they prayed and they guaranteed her that it would work because God can't lie. Boy, you talk about somebody stepping out on faith. Woo! I mean, they're fixing to step out. It's a 10,000-foot drop right there. But they're going to step out. They're going to put their foot on the other side and walk right across that. Because they guaranteed that little girl that the Lord that they serve would take away those scars. And they did this, and that little girl's scars have gone away. And the other day, when everybody at the little class saw it, there was 17?
18.
18 little children saw that, and they all accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, if just think how many people we could get to accept Jesus if all of us had that kind of faith. I mean, when that little girl, can you imagine how her face was tore up by being hit, eaten up by a pit bulldog? Had scars all over it. But the Lord took those scars away. I remember one time I was asked to come to some place in Arkansas to preach. And I went up there and I met a little girl there. She was a whole lot older than a little child like that. She was probably 14 or 15 or 16, but she has some terrible scars on her arm where she'd been in an accident. And I asked her what she was doing. And of course, you know, she's like all kids when you're 14 or 15, she gets out with some boys and some girls and they get to drinking and they get to messing around, get to living in the world, and had a car wreck and messed up her arm and it's got a great big giant scar on it. I told her, I said, you know, if you'll ask God to forgive you for that drinking and that messing around and all the stupid things you've done, I said, he'll forgive you. She said, well, what difference is it going to make? I said, it's going to make a difference whether that scar comes off your arm or not. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you'll ask God to forgive you for your sins, I will pray the prayer of faith and I will guarantee you that scar will come off of your arm. I mean, when I got all these promises, Tony, should I be able to guarantee his word?
Yes,
yes, absolutely. I mean, this is not some fly-by-night cowboy I'm dealing with here, is it? This is the King of the Universe. This ain't some cowboy that won't kneel down whenever or stand up when the flag is whatever. You know, I mean, this is not this kind of people. This is the kind of people, this God is God. And he happens to be mine and your God. And so, that little girl repented. She said, I never heard anybody talk like this. I said, honey, it's in the Word. Let me show you. I opened my Bible. I said, look at this. Wow, I didn't know that's in the Bible. I said, most people don't. But I said, it is. So she repented, and I prayed for her. And it wasn't but just four I left up there that week. I preached up there every night for two or three nights, four nights, whatever it was. Every day she had come to me and said, look, Pastor, my scars are smaller and smaller and smaller. Every day. And by the time I left, there was almost no scar at all left. I said, now just stay in faith, young lady, and I guarantee in a few days you won't, just like I told Philip that time. I said, just stay in faith, and I guarantee you by next Sunday, it was on Sunday when I told him this, I said, by next Sunday, you won't have any scars on your hand at all. And the next week, next Sunday, Philip didn't have not only a wart, didn't have a scar, nothing. And that boy is, wow. Yeah, he's got to be 30-something years old now. Got his own family, his own wife, four beautiful babies and everything. And he's just think. That young man was in such terrible shape. He had so many scars and so many warts and everything all over his body. In fact, I forget now exactly, but I think that when they went down to have this, they were going to do some surgery on him. They took him down to a doctor, and the doctor told Philip to take a pen and mark each one, had a little indelible deal or whatever, so he could see where they were, and said, count every wart on your body on your up to your left arm. And when he finally got through counting, he said, how many did you have? He said, 187. That's just on one arm. The doctor said, forget it. If you got 187 on the first arm, you must have 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 on your whole body. So he said, there ain't no way we could ever burn all those off. It just ain't no way. And so then they happened to make a big mistake. They came to a Sunday school class. And I happened to be teaching these promises. And they was very silent that day because they had never heard scriptures like these spoken. But it built their faith. So after church that day, they called me and wondered if I'd come to their house and talk to them. So I said, okay. So I went down to their house, and when we got there, I looked at Philip, and he had all these old terrible warts and scars all over his body. I got his mother to repent, I got his daddy to repent, and I got him to repent. And then I used Matthew 18:19, the same one. And I said, now I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God according to Matthew 18:19. And I want all of us to kneel around this little coffee table right here before a righteous and holy God. And I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name, according to Matthew 18:19, to take all of your warts off and all of your scars off. And I'm going to thank him for doing it, and I'm going to guarantee you he's going to do it because he made us the promise. So in 3 weeks, they were all gone. In another week, the scars were gone too. And Philip, in fact, we got testimonies back there on the deal of Philip's testimony. We don't have any pictures of him with the scar, with the warts. He would not let anybody take a picture of him. He hated himself. Yeah, he did not want nobody to see him with all those scars. It's amazing the power that you and me have in you, in us, and what we can do if we only believe. What we can do. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. Let's look at this. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. What kind of faith did Peter have? What kind of faith? Well, he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. What kind of faith did Peter have? I mean, we come up to the temple this morning. You're sitting down here, and when I look at you and you can't walk or whatever, like this guy had never walked. He'd been a cripple, an invalid all his life. And he says, I need some money. Give me some money. I got to have money to eat. I can't work. Peter said, I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But what I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. The guy looked up and he said, what? Peter said, I didn't tell you to say what. I told you to get up and walk. He reached down and grabbed him by the hand and jerked that man up. I can just see him jerking that devil right out of that guy. I mean, he jerked him up. Now then, that's where we are supposed to live. We don't really have to get violent. I mean, you know, if we believe these promises, to those of us that have obtained this like precious faith, And we've been given all these tremendous, wonderful, awesome promises. We should be able to do these things ourselves. God's given it to us already. Just look at what he says here. He says here that to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the knowledge of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Next verse. Let's go to that next verse. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us, how many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Have we just been going over some of these promises? Are they just exactly like he said? They are exceeding great and precious promises? Mark 16. I want us to look at Mark 16, 17 and 18. And I want you to see that a scripture so powerful that has been in the Bible for 2,000 years, me being raised in a Southern Baptist church until I was probably at least 40 years old, I didn't even know this verse was in the Bible. But yet I was a Sunday school teacher and I was a deacon, but I didn't know it was in the Bible. Isn't that a shame?
I know. I didn't know it either.
And you was in church too.
I know.
So at least you had enough sense to ask them.
That's right, I did.
Now, why? What does this mean?
Well,
it doesn't mean what it says. You know, I mean, Jesus, you know, he's kind of stupid. You know, he can say things and don't mean what he says.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me? That's kind of, that's what we look at, isn't it, Kim?
Absolutely.
We look at God as, is God stupid? Do you think he's stupid?
No.
Do you think if he said this, he's big enough to make it come to pass?
Absolutely.
Then he's given us all these great and precious promises. So because of these great and precious promises, we can become partakers of the divine nature of God. These promises belong to you and me. Do they not?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. These signs shall follow them that believe. You notice how he put that in there. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not just everybody, but only them that believe. You got to believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. And he's not really so hard to get along with. He just wants you to say, Lord, I believe. I remember when Mike and Gracie, when he had his back trouble and had been having it for years, when he was in there in the bathroom that day working on the bathroom and he got to hurting so bad he couldn't go no more, he said, honey, that's it. I'm down. I can't do nothing else. My back's killing me. This lovely bride of his had been sitting in this church listening to some of these things I'm teaching, and she said, you know, Mike, Thurman showed us in the Bible that God said if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it for us. You reckon he really meant that, Gracie? But you had never tried it to this point. But you did today. So you said, I'm going to pray for you, and God, I believe with all my heart God's going to heal your back. And you did that and thanked the Lord for doing it. And your wonderful husband got it healed how quick? In one heartbeat. And that's how long ago was that, Mike?
About 5 years.
4 or 5 years ago. Wow. And you hadn't had back trouble since.
No.
Work every day. Of course, you know, you shouldn't have back trouble. He's in the business he's in, he's really a lightweight lifter. You know, they never have to lift anything heavy. He's in the automotive truck business. You know, everything they pick up weighs less, more than 100 pounds. But he's got a strong back. But the promise, how long had the promise been there, Mike?
A long time.
A long, to at least 2,000 years. We don't believe. When we pray and ask for something, what if you pray and ask for something, and what if the manifestation had not have taken place right there? It would have been real easy for the enemy to deceive you. You say it didn't work. But what if you didn't receive your promise when you pray? Does that mean God's word don't work?
No,
it did work, didn't it?
Yes.
That's like that guy, I remember that story, that guy that went to Africa. And every night of the meeting, he's over there all week long. Every night of the meeting, there would be a woman come up. She's totally blind. Totally blind. She'd come up and say, I can't see. I want you to pray for me. So he'd cast out the spirit, command that thing to leave and to go away and to never come back, and then ask the Lord to heal her eyes. And he'd say, thank you, Lord. It's done. And he'd say, okay, woman, you can go. I've done all I can do. Next night, she's back up again. Same thing. Still totally blind. I want you to pray for me. He breaks the curse, kicks out the devil, says, Lord, heal her in Jesus' name. It's done. Now, woman, you're done. Go. I can't do nothing else. Jesus, it's his hands now. Nothing happened. Every night, he did this for 7 days. Every night. Broke the curse, kicked out the devil, commanded him to go and to never come back, and she couldn't see a thing. Not a thing. And then the seventh night when she came up and he did it, when he commanded the spirit to leave, she screamed, I can see perfect. She could see perfect. And her eyes were completely. Now then they're all excited. Everybody's excited. They're getting her to read things for them and all kinds of stuff because she can see perfect. And then, of course, the next day or two, whenever he finally gets started on the airplane back home, he says, Lord, I have a question. I have a problem. I prayed for that woman 7 times. How come the first 6 times it didn't work? See, that's the way we are. Because we don't see everything he sees. He said, oh, son, my word worked every time. He said, but you didn't know that woman had 7 demons. You only commanded one to come out. So every night when you commanded one to come out, he came out. He left. He obeyed my word. But there was still another one and another one and another one in there. Every night. See, finally, the 7th night, you were down to the last one. There's only one left. So when you commanded it to leave, it had to leave. There's nothing to blind her eyes. She can see. So he said, my word worked every time. Just think, when we go through something like this and the word doesn't appear to work for us for the first time we pray, we think God don't love us. He didn't love me. But that's what we think. But see, it don't make any difference. You made peace with God through the blood of Jesus. And he loves you just as much as he does Cheryl.
Yeah.
You know, or me. You know, ain't no favorite. Ain't no favorites in the kingdom. But the old devil, he's really sharp, you know. Whenever we pray and nothing happens, he'll come right over to you and say, you old worthless critter. You know God's not going to do nothing good for an old worthless thing like you.
Get behind me, Satan.
Amen. Well, you better know that. Because if you don't, he'll get you.
Right.
I mean, he'll do it every time. You know, when you pray for something and it don't happen. Just think. When I prayed for my granddaughter the first time and I walked off, if I'd have walked off and it didn't happen. I fought that battle for my granddaughter for 30 days down there at Cook's Medical Center before she even moved a foot. 30 days. And then after she started moving a little, they couldn't believe it. I mean, 2.5 weeks into this, when they finally said, well, we're going to unplug her. And when we do, she's going to decease. We don't know how she's lived this long, but when we unplug her, she will decease. There's no way with a severed brain stem, there is no way this child can live. It's obvious we don't believe John 15:7. But John 15:7 says, what does John 15:7 say?
Okay.
If what?
Oh,
now here, there's a requirement on this one, isn't there? In other words, you got to be spending some time with the Master. If my words abide in, what did that say, Miss Carrie? If my words abide in you, And you can ask me. Oh, in fact, I told up in Baltimore, not Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore. I told Baltimore this last week, Miss Cherry's story, how that her and her husband went down to Florida after her relative, aunt, whatever it was, her cousin, had been given the final diagnosis, sent her to hospice, it's over. And so whenever Cherry got that message, she said, you know, the Bible says we should go lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Did it say that?
Yes.
We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Mark 16, it did say a while ago, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, are you a believing believer? You better be. If you ain't, we're going to get you. We're going to drive nails in you or something. I don't know what we're going to do to you, but we're going to do something. If we're going to keep on and keep on until we get through to you that the Word of God means what it says.
Amen.
And so because when you finally get to the point where you believe it, just like Cherry, when her and her husband went down to Florida, I mean, they're thinking, they're praying, they're doing everything, and they know that she's been sent to hospice. And they walk in, and of course, when you walk in and look at somebody in hospice, what do you have a tendency to do when you look at somebody in hospice?
Give up.
That's right, because they look awful, don't they? Miss Cherry looked at her cousin and saw how bad she looked, and she got into the flesh, like we all do. I mean, we think it's us. It ain't us that's doing it, is it, Mike? It's the Master. So she said, oh my goodness, she looks awful. And Jesus knew what she was going through. So anyway, when she looked at, oh my goodness, she looks awful, the Lord spoke to her and says, Cherry, Jesus prayed for Lazarus, and he'd only been dead 4 days, and he came forth. This woman's still alive. Yeah, all you need to do is just pray for her or lay hands on her, whatever he told her to do. But she, that boosted her faith back up now. She heard the Lord speak. And boy, I'm glad he speaks to us, aren't you? Because sometimes we just can't have faith for nothing and if we're not hearing his audible voice. But if we have the written word, it makes no difference. If we got the word of God, it can't fail, can it, Kim?
No, it cannot.
Now, just like Kim and praying for that little girl, that with the face tore all to pieces, she said, now I'm going to pray for you, and Jesus, my Jesus is going to take away these scars. I guarantee he's going to take away these scars. She was very emphatic about that her Jesus was going to remove these scars because she asked him to.
That's right.
And he did. And in 17 or 18?
Yeah,
18.
Accepted Christ.
Yeah,
somebody dedicated their life.
Isn't that something?
But these are elementary age children.
How old were these little children?
Elementary. They go from third to fifth grade.
Accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm telling you. Yes, that's what I say. We give him praise, Lord. And to think the Master gave us all these awesome promises. But if we don't get our answer, do we give up?
No.
No, just think about Dave. You know, Dave, we prayed for Dave, and I mean, we did everything, and we prayed. We broke the curses over Dave. We kicked out devils. We prayed for him. We done everything every Sunday. And sometimes during the week, same thing. It didn't appear that nothing was happening. In fact, a year came and went, and that day that Dave walked right up there and he looked at me and he had a pair of short breeches on with no shoes, he looked awful. And he said, Pastor, it doesn't appear to be working. I said, Dave, repent. God's word. I said, you ain't going to get no sympathy from me. I said, I ain't going to, oh, you look, come over here and sit down, you poor dear thing. I said, no, absolutely not. I said, repent for your sin, your sins of unbelief. The scripture said these signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't say maybe or it might. It says they shall follow. I said, in the name of Jesus, we're going to drive out these devils. And I said, Dave, I want you to start putting your name in there. I, Dave Rosenfeld, command these spirits to leave me and to go away and to never come back. Now, devil, it is written in Luke 10:19-20, I have power over you and you got to obey me in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, thank you for these promises that you give us. You said I can become a partaker of the divine nature of God because of what you did on that cross. So I'm receiving that for me and my life in Jesus' name. And I said, and don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
20 months later, total. That was 8 months later, but the first time we went 12 months, and then the second time, 8 more. 20 total months. But at the end of 20 total months, Dave came out on the other side completely healed. And he's been completely healed now for about 12 or 15 years. And of course, him and his wife and kids, of course, I got so tickled whenever Dave come to me. Some of you know this. If you're new here, you don't know this. But when Dave come to me, he said, "Thurman, I married this beautiful girl from Canada. And I want babies. We want children. And the doctors tell us that with my problem, if we have any children, this is in my DNA, and my children will all be sick just like me." I said, "Well, Dave, the doctor's wrong." I said, "It's not in your DNA. It's a demon." And I said, "We're going to break the curse and kick the demons out. And when those demons go away, you and your wife, can you get healed?" And I said, "You and your wife can have all the babies you want to, and it won't none of them be sick." And so we kicked out the demons, broke the curse, and today they have six beautiful children from 2 to 11. And ain't none of them got no sickness of no kind. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to be beat up, do we? We got the King, and He gave us all these promises so we can become partakers of the divine nature of God. I believe the divine nature of God, I believe that's just like me. And a few of the problems that the devil's trying to mess up, and of course I know God's doing this to take me to a new level, but He's doing things to my body too, but I'm standing. You know, I'm going to come out the other side of this thing. I'm going to be the, like Cheryl made a statement the other day at Baltimore. She said, "This is the oldest young man that I ever met." Said, "Boy, he may be old, but he sure is young." Well, let me tell you, I feel young, you know. This is certain things don't work like it did before, but it's going to. It's going to even work better. Guarantee it. You know, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to be solid. They're going to quit shaking. I'm going to get through with all this, you know. My eyes are going to be 20/10. In fact, the Lord told Cheryl the other day, said, "Have Thurman, when he prays for eyes," I'd been praying for 20/20. She said, "Have him pray for 20/10 vision."
Amen.
So I've been praying for 20/10 ever since, Lord. And if I'm going to tell you for sure, if God told my wife to tell me to pray for 20/10, He has a 20/10 gift waiting for me when I pass my test. I ain't going to have 20/20 or 20/0 or 20 whatever. I'm going to have 20/10 vision, perfect sight, up close, four way, night and day. I can see perfect because I quoted that. I'll never forget that guy that came right to my church, and this has been several years ago. When he came up to healing school, I said, What do you need to be prayed for, sir?" He said, "My eyes." He said, he had real thick glasses on. I mean, real thick ones. I said, "So do you know what your prescription is?" He said, "Yes, it's 2700. I said, "Wow, and you can still drive?" He said, "Well, with these real thick glasses, I can drive. But," he said, "without them, I can't see nothing." So I said, "Okay, there is an awesome scripture in God's Word, Mark 11:23. Now, I want you to look at Mark 11:23. I want you to see what this verse says. And just look at it. We're going to read it. Mark 11:23. Look at this verse. Mark 11:23. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever..." Now, who does that include? Does that include all of us? "That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." I told him, I said, "Sir, I'm going to use Mark 11:23, and I'm going to say with my mouth, you have perfect 20/20 vision, up close, far away, night and day, you can see perfect in the name of Jesus." I said, "Okay." I prayed, and I said, "How's your eyes?" He said, "It didn't change a bit." I said, "Okay, but it's in the process, I guarantee." Because God's Word ever fail?
No.
Only thing makes it fail is when we make it fail. I told him, I said, "You take that Mark 11:23, and you quote that verse over and over and over and over to the Lord every day, many times a day." 2 years later, me and Cheryl was over Hillcrest. Yeah, we were speaking at a luncheon at Hillcrest. He come up and he said, "Hi, Pastor Scherner." I shook hands with him. I said, "Hi." He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I looked at him and said, "No, sir. I hate that, but I really don't." I said, "Should I know you?" He said, "Yeah, I'm the guy that had 2700 vision." I said, "Wow, you're not wearing glasses." He said, "Nope." He said, "I did exactly what you told me to do." He said, you prayed for me? And then I started saying every day, many times a day, thank you, Lord, for Mark 11, 23. I can have whatever I say with my mouth if I believe with my heart. So, Lord, I thank you that I have perfect 20/20 vision. I can see perfect up close, far away, night and day. I can see perfect in the name of Jesus. And he said, I said that every day, over and over and over for about 10 months. One day I'm driving down the road, and I said that, and when I did, I heard a voice say, you finally believe it. He said, well, Lord, I believed it the first time I said it. He said, no, you didn't. You just thought you did. But today, he said, you really believe it. So he said, why don't you take off your glasses? So he said, I pulled off to the side of the road and stopped. And then I took my glasses off and said, when I looked, I couldn't see a thing. Not a thing. Just like I was totally blind. I said, Lord, thank you that Mark 11, 23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. So I have perfect 20/20 vision, up close, far away, night and day. I can see perfect in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for my new eyes. And he said, both eyes came into perfect focus, and they've been perfect ever since. Now, does that scripture work?
Yeah.
It works when you believe it. Oh, yeah. In fact, that day that he did that, he pulled a little Bible out of his shirt pocket. And it's 4.0 or 4.5 font, a little bitty font. And he pulled that out and opened it to Mark 11, 23. And he read Mark 11, 23. And I looked over his shoulder and I said, you can read that? He said, yes, can't you? I said, no, I cannot. But I'm going to be able to. Because I'm believing the Lord for my 20/10 vision.
Amen.
So, Lord, thank you that I have 20/10 vision. Up close, far away, night and day, I can see perfect. Night and day, I can see perfect in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, Lord, thank you. Now, is the Word of God true?
Yes.
Does it mean what it says?
Yes.
Now, if he also tells us now, don't sin or I won't answer your prayer, does he mean that too?
Yes.
So don't get into sin. You know, we shouldn't even have to think about that. As far as I'm concerned, us as the children of God, sin should be so far away from us, we shouldn't even think about sin. I mean, we shouldn't even, if sin is crouching at our door, if it comes to our door and just says, you know, wouldn't you like to do this? Wouldn't you like to just do something wrong? Wouldn't you just like to, maybe, wouldn't you like to overeat? And you know, we do things. We do things wrong. But you know, we should say, nope, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to overeat. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to run. I'm going to play. Ain't going to be nothing wrong with me. You know, I'm not going to think about anything bad. If anything bad comes through my mind, I'm going to capture that thought and I'm going to throw that booger away. I ain't even going to think about doing something wrong. Is that where we should be living?
Yeah.
We should be so holy and so pure and so clean that any time we come to the Lord and ask him for anything, we should within... In fact, Kim, when y'all prayed for that little child, how many days was it before those scars were nearly completely gone?
I didn't see her every day, but when I came back the next week, they were...
Okay, when you come back the next week, they were nearly completely gone in a week. And you were startled.
Yeah, I was actually startled because, which is awesome, but it was so amazing to see it. It was already, the skin was already starting to, like, melt together. It was so awesome to see it.
Wow.
When I popped up. And when she came the next week, Janessa got to see her and saw that the scars were gone even more.
Just think, Mark 16, one more time. Let's go back to Mark 16, 18. Let's look at this. Mark 16, 18. Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, is it a good thing to be a believing believer? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. Next verse. You shall take up the serpent, Satan, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you know that Friday night we had nearly 200 people to pray for? That's a lot of folks. the pastor of that church, he said, oh my goodness, the way Thurman does things with this many people here, we will be here till 4 o'clock in the morning. He's been there at 2. He's been there with us when we were still there at 2 o'clock in the morning. So he just knew we were going to be there. But I told the people, I said, this is what I'm going to do. I said, first of all, the scripture says that if you repent of all your sins, then how many of your diseases does God heal? That's exactly what they all said that heard me say that. If I confess my sin, all my sin, he forgives all of my iniquities, and then he heals all of my diseases. Yeah, so I said, so if you right now, whatever sin you've got, if you tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for sin, and I confess my sin, and I ask you to forgive me for all the things I've done wrong, how many sins is God going to forgive? Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that you can ask him and he'll forgive everything?
Yes.
And then he says, after I forgive all your sins, then how many of your diseases will I heal?
All.
So I said, now in Mark 16:18, what does he tell me to do in Mark 16:18 to get you healed?
Amen.
That last line, what does he say?
Amen.
Did he tell me to pray?
No.
Oh, he didn't say pray or nothing. He just said, do what? So if Cheryl was sick, which she's not, but if she was sick and she came up and she repented of her sin, and I just done this and patted her on her hand and said, I didn't say nothing, just patted her on her hand. Next, give me the next person. I mean, who's doing the healing here?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. Yeah, so we're just doing what Jesus said. And it is amazing what we saw the Lord do. And Cheryl and I'd say, okay, have you got all I'd ask them, have you confessed every sin? Yes, I have. And I'd say, you're done. Give me another one. And in about, what, two and a half hours, we went through 200 people. And there is no telling how many awesome miracles and healings that God did out of that whole bunch, because everybody that believed and everybody that repented of their sin, every one of them got healed that night. Is that right, Mike? You know how much fun it is to see God do those kind of things? It's funny. It's just fun. I mean, he made it so hard for me and you, Scott. I didn't even get tired. I wasn't even out of breath. Oh, yeah, I'll tell y'all. This is an awesome story. Here, just a few weeks ago, we had a family that was having trouble with a little two-year-old boy. And his body, his name was Gideon, and his body was swelling up, and he was overweight by water by about 30 pounds. I mean, he was just, he looked like a balloon. Kidneys wasn't working, you know, and he was just swelling up like a balloon. And the doctors, they didn't know what to do. They thought the kid was going to die. They finally called us, and we started talking to them and emailing them and everything about, you got a sin in your life. The parents have got a sin in your life. You got to get rid of the sin. When you get rid of the sin, then we pray for the child, and the child will get well. Do you know most people have never heard that outside of this church? Very few. So anyway, they listened for a while, and then the child didn't get much better. And finally they called and said, We know if Thurman said, we'll pay for his expenses. If he will fly up here and lay hands on our child and pray for him, we know that God will heal our child if Thurman comes and does it. I told Jeff, I said, Jeff, me and you both know it's not because Thurman goes, it's because they get rid of sin. I said, so since I want to prove that to this family, I want them to know that it's not Thurman, it's something supernatural. It's this Thurman has learned how to get people to repent of sin. That's the only thing I've learned that works. So I said, Jeff, I'm going to send you. Will you go up there? And he said, I will. So we bought Jeff an airplane ticket and sent him to Pennsylvania. He goes to Pennsylvania and he goes in that home. He prays on the way up there. The Lord tells him what's wrong, shows him that there's a problem between the man and the wife. Just like we always know, there's an issue. So Jeff goes in the home, he spends an evening there with them, he tells them what the problem is, and they receive it, they repent of sins, Jeff prays for the child, gets on an airplane, comes home, and within 2 days, the boy's healed.
Amen.
He's healed. They came to the meeting all three nights. And the second night I asked them, would they give their testimony Friday? And they said, yes, they would. So they got up and they gave their testimony. And Thursday. And they told what the sin was between the husband and the wife, how they weren't getting along, and she was kind of trying to run the show and all this kind of stuff. And I told her, I said, you can't do that. And Jeff had already told them all these things. And so the boy got healed. And after the boy got healed, she got up and she said, him and her together, and they brought the little boy up. They had pictures of him. We put them on the wall. Everybody got to see this little guy all swelled up like a balloon. And then after prayer, a couple of days later, he's normal. And tonight, he's perfectly normal, running around the place just totally well. But she said, we wanted to tell that in our church. And so they said, okay. She said, so we told it until my husband and I started talking about the sin that was going on between us. And that we couldn't get the boy healed until we repented of our sin, and then he got healed. They told him, you can never tell that story again in this church. We don't believe that at all. We do not believe that sin and sickness are directly related, and it just happened to be a coincidence that your kid got healed after that, because he was prayed for, but it was not the sickness and sin connection that caused it. I beg to differ with you. We have seen too many of those, have we not? Isn't that amazing? The church. But of course, I remember when Bailey out there in New Mexico. Yeah, Hobbs, New Mexico. Yeah, whenever she got healed. I mean, that was such an awesome thing. God didn't just heal the problem she had right there. He healed everything been wrong with her for 18 years. Yeah. I mean, that little girl got completely healed. And they went to their church, Baptist church. They told it. Everybody was okay with all that. And then after they told it two or three times, they was called to several other churches. They knew people, knew friends, all kinds of stuff. In fact, the daddy, he come to the hotel one morning while we was out there in Hobbs and said, Thurman, after he saw his daughter healed, he said, I have a good friend in Weatherford that's probably going to die. I want you to pray for him. So we found out what the sin was. We got that repented and taken care of, and we prayed the prayer of faith, and I guaranteed him his friend would get well. He left and went back to his shop, furniture store, and picked up the phone and called his friend, and his friend was already healed. I mean, after a little short prayer, isn't it amazing? And then when you try to tell people, hey, the only thing we did was remit the sin. And then we prayed the prayer of faith, and the man got well. No, that can't be. It cannot be that sin causes sickness. But let me tell you what. You want to be sick? Just start sinning. And I guarantee you, you'll get that way. You may not get there overnight. But let me tell you what, when God does finally put the sickness on you, and he will, when he finally does put the sickness on you, if you see the sickness coming and then you begin to realize, hey, because I've been sinning, this is why I have this. Okay, now I need to repent and get somebody to pray for me so I can get healed right quick. It may not happen real quick. Everybody wants it to happen quick. But usually it does not. Usually it takes a few weeks or a few months. God's going to put you to the test because he's going to, you know, if you sinned against Daddy and Daddy gave you one little light tap and said, okay, son, you going to do that again? No, Dad, I'll never do that again. Oh, that didn't even hurt. So you don't have any problem sinning again. But if Daddy whips your rear end from here to the back with a belt, some of y'all lived in a home where you had those kind, didn't you? You got spanked. I mean, you did something wrong. He hits you one lick, two licks, three licks, and you're trying to get away. And the more harder you run, the faster he's running and the harder your licks get. That's kind of the way it is with God. But let me tell you, when you got to the back and your backside's red, you're finished with sin. You ain't going to do that no more. Is that right? You're finished with sin. I think that's 1 Peter 4. I think that's the first verse. And let's read that and see if that's am I right. 1 Peter 4. See if I'm in verse 1. 1 Peter 4, 1. And let's see if that's what that says. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased with sin. You see why God makes you suffer? You see why he gives you that real spanking? You see why that Dave even told me, he said, Thurman, if you'd have prayed for me the first time and I'd have got totally healed, I wouldn't have learned nothing. But he said, man, nearly 2 years later, he said, I've been through hell on earth. And let me tell you, when Dave got through with that time, he quit sinning. And he stayed well all this time, hadn't he? He stayed well. Do you want to stay well? Learn how to walk in obedience to God's word and walk in love with everybody. Right, Tony? When you walk in love with everybody, you don't have to sweat being beat up on by sickness or disease or anything, do you? No. And if something happens, just like Tony, he's walking in obedience to God's word, but something happened, and I don't know, it's been 2 or 3 or 4 years ago when you damaged your shoulder. And he totally come to the Lord. You didn't even go to a doctor and have it checked, did you? We just prayed. He prayed, we prayed, and him and his wife prayed, and it wasn't but just a few days that arm was completely well. And you've never had any trouble with that at all, have you, Tony? Was that what it was, a torn rotator cuff? Or? Oh, you broke your shoulder. Yeah, broke your shoulder. But we just stood on faith in God's word, making sure all sins had been repented, and God completely filled it. But it didn't take long. How long did it take? Okay, in 2 weeks the pain went away, in 2 months the whole thing was done. Wow. See, you see what happens when you stand on God's word? And of course the thing I like about it, there was no scars when he got through with it, and you didn't have a big doctor bill either. That's the best part. That's what I love. I'm an old tightwad, you know. I hate to spend the money I make. I hate to give it to a doctor. I really realize some of them got to have that money, okay, but I don't want them to get it from me. I'd rather go to Jesus and pray and let him do it for free. One more time, let me go over while they're getting the communion stuff together. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Isn't that an awesome scripture? And you know, many of us, we have suffered from sin and didn't even know what it was. We didn't know what made us sick. We didn't know. We didn't understand why we're having this problem with our flesh. But nobody ever told us. But if you learn and you read the book and you read the word, and it says so right there in the word, you ought to be able to realize, I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. Do you? So if I sin and it's going to cause suffering in my flesh, I'd just as soon to get rid of it and no more sin. I don't want no sin in my life. I want to walk holy and clean and pure because I don't like spankings from God. And that's what that is when you hurt the flesh, right, Tony? I don't like those, do you? Not at all. I'd much rather walk holy and obedient to his word and walk in love with him and all of these people and never get another spanking. I don't like spankings, especially from God. Wow. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.